The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
It's time for our weekly American discussion with Marion McKeown and Cal Thomas. I'm not going to start with Donald Trump for once, although he does feature as one of the friends of the late Jeffrey Epstein, along with former President Bill Clinton, who was a regular on Epstein's luxury jet, and of course Prince Andrew, as we were discussing with Nick Ferrari yesterday. Epstein was an utterly obnoxious, malevolent individual, a convicted sex offender who used to hang out with the rich and powerful, but of course he was found dead in his cell at the Metropolitan Correctional Center in Manhattan in August. And Cal Thomas, I believe there's been a significant development today in relation to the circumstances of his death. What is it?
Yes, Matt, two actually. Both of the guards who falsified the logs when they were supposed to be checking Epstein's cell every 30 minutes have been arrested. And just a few hours ago, the FBI announced that it is joining the investigation, and they added an interesting line. They said, including possible criminal enterprises. Now, in the past, when you heard that sort of thing, you thought mafia, organized crime, or whatever. But I have long suspected that the rapid conclusion put out by the medical examiner in New York that Epstein had committed suicide in a secure cell was bogus. And I think this is an important development. And there are a lot of other high-profile people who must be sweating today, even though we know Prince Andrew doesn't sweat.
Yes, indeed. Marion McKeown, I know I don't want to sound like a conspiracy theorist, but there were an awful lot of people who felt that Epstein's apparent death by suicide was all too convenient, that it shut him up at a time when he could perhaps spill the dirt on some highly significant figures. Where is this all going to go?
You know, I think it's certainly already at the level of where people really dispute and distrust the medical examiner's findings. Since those findings were released, and the whole thing did seem to be done. Look, the whole thing, if you just look at the facts that these guards conveniently didn't check at him for 3 hours, a cellmate he was supposed to have was moved out of the cell, so he was there on his own. It was supposed to be a cell where, you know, the normal procedure for somebody who's already attempted suicide is that you take away everything, and these cells in particular are supposed to be suicide-proof. Now, there was also an examination by a very well-respected medical expert a couple of weeks back who said that there were other marks on his body and that he really cast doubt on whether or not it had been a death by suicide. So you put all this together, and as you say, the number of rich and powerful people, the fact that he was a paedophile and a sex trafficker of underage girls, you know, not just a sex offender to the rich and famous. And you imagine, yes, I mean, look, it's very suspicious. I'm not going to jump the gun here in any way, but I'm very glad that the FBI is looking into it and that it is being pursued in more depth. It's certainly
I wonder if the FBI is talking to Ghislaine Maxwell, because this woman is central to his criminal enterprise. This is the daughter of the late crook Robert Maxwell, who died in highly controversial circumstances as well in the early 1990s, whether it wasn't clear whether it was suicide or whether it's something else perhaps had happened to him on his yacht off the Canaries.
Yeah.
But surely, Marion, if she is now talking to the FBI, as has some people have speculated, she could know an awful lot about the people that Epstein was hanging around with.
Well, you know, I don't know, Matt, if she is. All I've heard about her is that she's gone into hiding and she hasn't been contacted. I don't know if the FBI has made any effort to talk to her or if she has just literally pulled down the shutters. Now, her role in all of this, not just that she knew what was going on, but that she was an active participant, according to the young women who were abused and who were trafficked for sex to these rich older men. Several of them have claimed that she was an active participant, that she groomed them, that she, you know, she was the facilitator of all of this. So I think her role is not just that she can provide information. It certainly sounds like she could also be criminally liable and culpable. And her role, if nothing else, was absolutely disgraceful, if you believe the testimony of these young girls, and there's no reason not to.
And indeed, Cal Thomas, it's really fascinating to see Prince Andrew, who of course went to visit Epstein after he was released from prison, allegedly to tell him he couldn't be his friend anymore, and yet ended up staying 4 days at his luxury address. How difficult is it to get accommodation in New York as a visitor?
Well, it it's not that difficult. I do it all the time when I go there, Matt. But I think, as many British and other commentators have said, this is one of the great disastrous interviews of all time. I watched the whole thing. Anybody who believes that must have believed Bill Clinton when he said, "I did not have sex with that woman, Monica Lewinsky." I mean, it was terrible. He doesn't swim. He has no recollection. It was convenient for him to stay in that place. Are you kidding me? There are major hotels and minor hotels within walking distance of Epstein's place. The whole thing was a disaster. He's not going to recover from this. I don't know what the royal family's going to do. Can they excommunicate him? That's probably never been done before. But it was a horrible interview and did not help him at all.
Okay, let's move on to Donald Trump. And Cal, this is something I think that you actually are in agreement with somebody in Fox News who has given out about Donald Trump's bashing of the station. He seems now at this stage to have gone to war with his most loyal TV station. And in particular, tell us a little bit about his attack on Chris Wallace over the weekend. Why did this happen, and why has Neil Cavuto of Fox News come to his colleague's defense?
Right. This is the second time Neil Cavuto, who is the vice president of Fox, as you said, has criticized the president and said that a journalist's job is not to be a lapdog of any president of the United States. And Cavuto is right. I've known Chris Wallace for a long time. He now hosts Fox News Sunday, which is one of the major panel shows that all the networks do on Sundays. I think he's an honest journalist. He's never worked for a politician like so many people passing for journalists do today. And he just doesn't toe the line. He asks difficult questions. He challenges assertions and assumptions. And I think he does a very, very good job. Look, there's plenty to criticize, in my view, about the American media, no matter which president or what party is in power. But I think that the unrelenting criticism of President Trump, of everybody in the media, especially those who don't toe the party line, is unfortunate.
Let's hear what Cavuto had to say in response to that attack on Chris Wallace by Trump.
You are not the first president to say the media has it out for you. No less than press darling John F. Kennedy himself had his moments with the media. People will always see things through the prism of their own set of beliefs. I get that. Just like I get plenty of Trump supporters who call me a never-Trumper for getting into matters they don't like, and plenty of never-Trumpers themselves for giving any credit to a president they will never like. We can't please all. The best we can do as journalists is be fair to all, including you, Mr. President. That's not fake doing that. What is fake is not doing that. What is fake is saying Fox never used to do that. Mr. President, we have always done that. We did, Chris did, I know I did. I recall quite well a chat I had with you back in 2015 when you were running for president. I heard later on that you were none too pleased. You actually called me nasty. The interview, even worse. You were entitled to that opinion, Mr. President. Actually, many agreed with you then. Many agree with you now. Some go so far as to say I'm fat and clueless, Mr. President. Now imagine anyone calling me fat. But journalists, no matter their weight, aren't entitled to praise you. We are obligated to question you and always be fair to you. We will. Even if it risks inviting your wrath. Like I said, you are free to rage. All we are free to do is report. And let the viewers decide.
Of course, Marion McCone, Donald Trump isn't exactly skinny himself. There's been a bit of speculation over his health over the weekend. Is that fair or appropriate?
Well, you know, again, it's the way the White House handles things. And yes, absolutely, the American people have a right to know if the President of the United States has health issues and whether or not the 25th Amendment would have to be invoked in the case of something serious like a heart attack or a neurological issue. Now, Donald Trump did go to the Walter Reed Medical Center on Saturday afternoon. It was unscheduled. He normally has, you know, all presidents have an annual checkup and the results are published. And according to him, if you believe him, it's like, oh, he was bored, there was nothing on the TV, so he just thought he'd pop along to the hospital and have a checkup. It's absolute nonsense. You know, it may have been something very minor. There is a full medical staff in the White House as well, which is what makes it more interesting that he actually presumably would have been seen by somebody, the medical staff in the White House, and then gone on to the hospital. But look, we don't know, and we'll probably never know for sure, because this White House is, to put it mildly, is not forthcoming with the truth on about anything. So let's wait and see. But he's certainly overweight. He loves junk food. I can't imagine what his blood pressure is at the moment, if his tweets are anything to go by. So it's probably no harm from David Checkup.
Yeah, how's that impeachment proceeding getting along? We have some audio to play of a Lieutenant Colonel Vindman. Why is he significant, Marion?
Well, he's significant because he was, in brief, the phone call that is at the very core of this impeachment hearing, where Donald Trump spoke to President Zelensky on the 25th of July and said, "I would like a favour, though," when they were talking about aid and various other things. He was on that phone call. He is an American war hero. He's a Purple Heart recipient. He's an exemplary American patriot. And he then went to his superiors and expressed his concern about what was said on the call. He's now testifying about that, and to see him being ridiculed and belittled and by American patriots as well, who would call themselves that, by the Republicans on the committee, is absolutely disgusting. It's happening as we speak, and honestly, I am just shocked by it, to see them try to, as I say, belittle him and mock him and scorn him.
Okay.
And this is a man who is a real patriot.
Let's actually hear a little bit of him giving details of that July 25 call to the president of Ukraine by Trump.
On July 25th, 2019, the call occurred. I listened on the call in the Situation Room with White House colleagues. I was concerned by the call. What I heard was inappropriate, and I reported my concerns to Mr. Eisenberg. It is improper for the president of the United States to demand a foreign government investigate a U.S. citizen and a political opponent. I was also clear that if Ukraine pursued an investigation, into the 2016 elections, the Bidens and Burisma, it would be interpreted as a partisan play. This would undoubtedly result in Ukraine losing bipartisan support, undermining U.S. national security, and advancing Russia's strategic objectives in the region.
Let's hear a bit more of Vindman. He was questioned about a statement by Adam Schiff, the chairman of the inquiry, who asked him about his, quote, real-time response to Trump's call.
Without hesitation, I knew that I had to report this to the White House counsel. I had concerns, and it was my duty to report my concerns to the proper people in the chain of command.
And what was your concern?
Well, Chairman, as I said in my statement, it was inappropriate, it was improper for the president to request and to demand an investigation into a political opponent, especially a foreign power where there's at best dubious belief that this would be a completely impartial investigation, and that this would have significant implications if it became public knowledge, and it would be perceived as a partisan play. It would undermine our Ukraine policy, and it would undermine our national security.
Carl Thomas, how can Republicans who believe in their army and who believe in the sovereignty of the state dismiss a man who is going on the line to say things such as this?
Well, you might ask the same thing of Democrats who disparaged and smeared General David Petraeus, who was George W. Bush's man in Iraq, who led the surge quite successfully at the time. So it all depends on who's in power and what the policy is. At bottom, Matt, this is a disagreement over foreign policy. You have these witnesses today and others who say one thing about America's foreign policy, and then you have the President of the United States, who is the only one who actually makes foreign policy. Look, this is going nowhere. This is all a political theater. We've talked about this before. Even if the House impeaches, the Senate is not going to convict the president. In fact, the Republicans in the Senate may drag this out through the early primaries, which would not be good for senators who are running for president. So in the end, this is all sound and fury and insignificant in the long run, in my view.
Carl, I can't see how you can characterize this as just been some sort of debate about foreign policy. This is the President of the United States doing a shakedown of the President of Ukraine to try and benefit himself against a potential challenger to his own position in the White House.
That there's always been conditions on foreign aid. We've had conditions when it comes to aid to the Middle East. There's been pressure by previous administrations that if Israel didn't do such and such, then military aid would not follow. The Obama administration, even after the invasion of Crimea and the threats to Ukraine by Putin's Russia, refused to send any aid to Ukraine. You've got the Bidens, Hunter and Joe, deep involved in Burisma, this energy company in Ukraine, with Hunter Biden, $50,000 a month, no experience, and there's plenty more to come out about that.
Oh, so sorry, Cal, examples you gave me had nothing to do with any of those other presidents getting personal benefit while in office from foreign policy decisions they take. Marion McKeown, what's your response?
Can I just get in here, yeah? Cal, can you name one other American president since America was founded who used foreign policy to accrue a personal political advantage? Just name one.
I'll Google it and get back to you, Marion. But there's all kinds of ways to do this.
I won't
hold
my breath.
There's all kinds of ways to do this.
No, you know, Cal, I am shocked to hear you say this, because you know what Donald Trump tried to do here. The most credible witnesses, I have never seen more patriotic Americans than I've seen since this hearing started. Military people, lawyers, advisors, people who just want to do their best for their country, who behave in a nonpartisan way once they get into work. And for them we know what Donald Trump did here. He was afraid Joe Biden was going to be his opponent. And so he shook down the Ukrainian president because he wants him to say on CNN, I'm investigating Joe Biden for corruption. He didn't even care if the investigation happened or not. This is how Donald Trump rolls. And, you know, this is so much more serious than what Nixon did and what Clinton did and certainly what Johnson did back in the 1800s. I just cannot believe that you do not think this is a serious and potentially catastrophic thing for America.
Can I just finish this by saying, Cal, Marion has said lots of nice things about you in a podcast in which she features Janet Regan's An Irishman Abroad, which is an excellent podcast, has an interview with Marion. And believe me, Cal, she says lovely things about you.
Of course I do. I have huge respect for Cal, but I disagree with him absolutely on this.
Well, look, we've had former presidents who have been behind the assassination of world leaders. You think of Vietnam. You think of certain dictatorships in South America. Is that worse than what's going on right now? This is political. But I will say the Republicans have announced that during this impeachment hearings, they've raised $61 million for the next election. Woo-hoo!
Cal Thomas, Marion McKeown, thank you as ever for being with us on The Last Word of Today FM.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.